The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 164. It is the SummerSlam preview episode. That's right, I'm going to be joined by Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze. We're going to give our 2 cents worth, our opinions, our thoughts, our ideas on what's going to happen at the big WWE pay-per-view for the summer, SummerSlam, which is happening this Sunday, August 19th. In Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, it's been a while since DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand joined me on an episode of the PVD cast. That's because when WrestleMania rolled around, everybody's schedule was so crazy that we could never meet and talk about WrestleMania. And I apologize for that, both to you, the listener, and to those two fine gentlemen, because, you know, part of the deal was they were going to come on and we were going to talk about the Big Four, both give a preview and then a review of each pay-per-view. And so I feel like I broke my promise there, so I'm happy to have those two guys back. We're going to talk all about it. And as avid listeners of this podcast know, these episodes tend to go a little bit long, so I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to talk about a couple of real quick points, get to the audible ad, and then get right into our predictions, our thoughts, our ideas about what's going to happen at SummerSlam. One of those things I want to talk about is 2 very cool wrestling shows that are coming up. My friends at Ohio Championship Wrestling return to action on August 25th, which is a Saturday. They present Wanted Dead or Alive. It's at the OCW Arena in Akron, Ohio. Bell time is 7 o'clock, and if you need any information or you want to know who's going to be there, all you got to do is go to ocwrestling.net. Then the next day, August 26th, Old Wrestling is back in action. That's right, it's time for their annual extravaganza. That's going to be at the Huron County Fairgrounds in Norwalk, Ohio. 3 o'clock is when the event kicks off. And again, it's a different style of wrestling, but it's a whole lot of fun. You definitely need to come on out and check out both those shows. In fact, you know, Akron, Norwalk, that's a couple of hours away. You could probably do a double shot if you want. Anyways, for more information on Old Wrestling, simply go to oldwrestling.com. That's oldewrestling.com. And now let me tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, tablet, iPad, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. We're talking about wrestling here on this episode, and as I've told you many times, they have a ton of wrestling books that you can listen to whether you're mowing the yard or going on a road trip or while you're at work at your desk. You can listen to some great books through Audible. That's all I'm going to say. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. So let's go to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, Ringside Rand, DJ Joey Blaze, and I talk about SummerSlam. After a very long delay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Yours truly sitting down with Ringside Rand.
Hello!
And DJ Joey Blaze.
It has been a while.
It has been
a couple months.
Well, it's been more than a couple months. And again, everybody's schedule was very, very crazy. But we're all here. You're looking up Marty Jannetty facts, which we just found out he has a new title. He is CEO of Self-Employed.
Yeah, that's an interesting...
That's a very interesting
disclaimer to make, don't you think?
I don't see really anything too outlandish yet. I'll do some research here. You know, first of all, I mean, if we're going to talk about the research team is lacking, they should have had this for us today.
Well, the research team...
Rand and his crew have done some research, but the research team... But the thing that really frosts my cookies this week is I walk into the green room and you've changed caterers. Again.
Well, because the original caterers were not doing their job, so they had to go. The research team, by the way, has asked for the night off because they're down seeing Jay-Z and Beyonce.
They're one of the few, from what I hear, which we talked
about. That's a rumor.
But let's go back to the catering thing. Let me guess. Is this Trump's fault, too? Did he send them back or something? Or...
Well, you know, no, because all my caterers were from Canada, so.
Well, that's what I was talking about, too.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, well, our friends from the north.
The Great White North.
Because all he wanted to serve us was Tim Hortons. It kind of got annoying.
Well, first of all, Lance Storm would appreciate that.
But is he a Tim Hortons fan?
Can I be serious for a moment?
I don't know. I don't even know if that word serious can actually even describe.
I know you got a whole litany of things to talk about, but before this gets off the rails, what the hell's wrong with Dave Meltzer?
Okay, first of all, I feel I'm going to defend Dave Meltzer for a minute, because I think Dave Meltzer, from the way that I interpreted it, was he was referring to the lighter as being the tone of the character. At least that's what I felt. That's how I read that, not as in physical body weight. So, I don't know, maybe I read it wrong. Maybe I interpreted it wrong, but that's what I thought he meant.
I don't care if she gained 5 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever. I mean, she's gorgeous, and Ty's a very lucky gentleman.
Well, he is a perfect 10. Anyways.
See, that's another thing. We're too cheap in production to even have sound effects. Some people have sound effects. We can't even have those here.
Well, but you love being on.
I do.
Let's be honest.
I do. It's a good time.
All right. I'm not real happy with valet parking again.
Well, duly noted. Duly noted. But let's go ahead.
Sorry, there was a lot of grievances this time. I apologize. But,
a lot of grievances. All right, SummerSlam is a mere couple days away. As we're recording this on Thursday night, it's Sunday, so that's 3 days away. A lot of matches to talk about, and I think you took many copious notes.
Cool. I wrote down the matches.
You did. I have them on here on the iPad, the handy iPad.
I didn't write down shit.
Well, but you researched Marty for us, so.
He's actually kind of sane right now. It's kind of annoying.
Well,
I guess we'll have to pay for him to party with us and get him drunk and then get some stories.
All right, well, let's talk about the first match, which is going to be on the kickoff show, Lana and Rusev versus Vega and Almos. Thoughts on this match, Rand?
Typical buildup. I thought that Aiden English was lucky to have a job, and now he doesn't. Or is looking at the door.
You know what? I honestly don't see where this storyline is going, other than breaking up English and Rusev. I don't see them putting Rusev and Lana over. It's obviously a vehicle to get Zelina and CN over. DJ Joy Blaze.
I have many issues with this. Of course, right?
This is the kickoff show.
And this is the kickoff
show match. Yeah.
First of all, why is this on the kickoff show?
That's true.
Okay. Here Rusev was main eventing all those pay-per-views with AJ Styles. Now it's on the kickoff. Okay, whatever. And then just the direction they're going with the character, like, he's getting this huge face pop, so let's bury him and put him.
Right.
So I have a lot of issues with that. Flip side, I've never been a big Andrade fan, but I like what they're doing with him on SmackDown. I think he can be that top three heel, maybe the top mid-card heel there, and they're really doing a good job with it. So those are my two reasons. If you want to try and get him there, and you're doing all this with Rusev, why is it on the pre-show? That's what I'm upset about. And now the whole thing with Aiden English, I think one of two things have happened. I think if they break him up, he's going to be with Andrade. I think they might do something like that to keep that a heel. Or he's going to go back and they're just going to have a big hug and everything's going to be fine with Rusev. I don't think anything's going on with that. And besides, since he's technically a Guerrero, they want to probably keep him around too. So keep him in some sort of form.
Well, overall, I think that, you know, as I just said, I think Vega and Almas goes over. I think to keep the momentum of him being that hot heel, because I do think he's getting a pretty decent reaction from the crowd. Especially Vega. You got to give her some props for doing a really good job.
And speaking of giving somebody props, what about our TNA champion used to date her back in the day?
Really?
Our Impact champion? Austin Aries? Yeah, they made some. That. There were some tweets and stuff like that. Oh, I'm just like, high internet five on that, bro. She's...
She's an attractive lady.
Yeah, she's very...
Muy caliente?
Muy caliente, yeah. Whatever you just said, spaghetti. But definitely. Anyway.
Do you agree?
With
Zelina and Almas goes over.
I mean, just that's the direction of what's going. But like I said, on the flip side, what's Rusev done to get buried? Like, he's done all that. They've done all this stuff to get them over. With Lana is the best, Lana's number one. That and that Rusev Day, everything, and all this momentum, and they're going to bury him on a pre-show.
Well, because he's doing it on his own. That's of course, the thing. That's the problem.
Because it's not a company push. It's,
right.
It's
right.
A weak push.
Yeah.
Well, you got 10 matches on the show.
True.
And it is. And to be fair, it is a pretty stacked show. I mean, there's some...
Well, but look, if I'm going to put something on the kickoff show, I'm sorry. I know you already have the Raw Tag Team title match on the kickoff show. I'd move that SmackDown Tag Team match to the kickoff show too,
and then
move that up. Yeah, I would.
The Bludgeon Brothers and New Day, you'd put on the.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I have a opinion about that.
Yeah, I do too. So.
Yeah, I think the New Day belongs on pre-show. I think they're high energy enough curtain jerkers to get the crowd started.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, back in the day, you know, that in the 90s, that's what you saw on Nitro. You saw a high octane, usually cruiserweight match to get things rocking and rolling. And I don't see where that type of booking...
Which we do have one, though, in the kickoff show. That's probably the next. Do you want to talk about
that? Yep, yep. All right, we got Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak. I have not watched 205 yet. So I've never watched an episode of 205 Live. I'm sorry, I just haven't.
We're transparent right here.
We are.
We'll be honest with you, I guess.
Folks, you're getting what you pay for.
As I've mentioned many times before, we've talked about it. There's just no incentive for me to sit and watch yet another hour of WWE programming with 205 Live. I've been told that I'm wrong in that thinking, that it's gotten much, much better. But I don't know.
I dislike how it's not the traditional cruiserweight. Like, these guys are going to be, and they're excellent workers and they're excellent performers. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, Drew Gulak, but thing is, like, they don't have, he's had three crazy different gimmicks in the last 8 months where he was doing his PowerPoints, and then he's Enzo's lackey, and then he's doing this. Now he's a submission specialist. I don't like what they're doing. Like, I think he would be better as a main roster guy, personally. And with Cedric Alexander, same opinion. He's a heck of a worker, but they just don't have that oomph to capture it for 205 Live to me either.
I agree.
But like I said, I'm a little bit old school with my thinking.
So. Do you think it's 6 hours and 2 days is too much wrestling for the average fan?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think that's what's the nice thing about them moving to Fox. Mm-hmm. With SmackDown, eventually that's going to break it back up, because I think that was a nice way of kind of breaking up your week. It's going to move back to Fridays, I think they mm-hmm. said, when they mm-hmm. moved to Fox. Yeah. So.
Will it be live or taped?
Taped. It's taped on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I was going to say, I don't know if I read if it was live or taped. I assumed it was going to be taped. But look, I'm not a big fan of Drew Gulak. I think, because number one, his gimmick has never been clearly defined. Number two, because that gimmick has never been clearly defined, his work rate to me is very not well defined. We'll just go with that. It's very it's cloudy. I don't know what he's supposed to be. Is he supposed to be the striking type of guy? Submission special? What's the deal? I'm not a huge fan of Drew Gulak. I don't know why he's around, to be bluntly honest. I mean, I there's nothing interesting about him. I think Cedric Alexander is probably one of the best cruiserweights in that division.
Oh, I agree. He's a total package with everything. But see, the whole Gulak thing, though, I wouldn't put as much on him as I would put, like I said, they've put him in three different weird scenarios. Yeah. Like, he was doing the PowerPoint presentation, and to me, that was entertaining and funny. I like that. Then I didn't like him as Enzo's lackey.
That was terrible.
That was stupid. But so now they're trying to build him as a badass, which would be cool if he was built as a badass the whole time.
Right.
But he's always played second fiddle, whether it be to Tony Nese mm-hmm. when he was with him, and then he was doing the, you know, if they want to do, they should just kept it back to the PowerPoint presentation, been goofy about it. Then he could get, like, cheap wins, cheap victory, play that cheap type of heel. But this badass gimmick's just not submission specialist. No, you're not Dean Malenko.
So I'm going to go with Drew. I'm going to go with Cedric Alexander retains over Drew Gulak.
I agree.
Sure.
Okay. So we got the Raw Tag Team Championship, the Revival versus the B Team. This is an odd one for me. I got to be honest with you. I don't know who to pick. Rand, what are your thoughts?
I look at the Revivals as being the current brainbusters. That's Arn and Tully.
But now, I do have a question, because originally it was reported that it was going to be the Leader of Worlds involved in a three-way match.
Which they did on Raw.
Right, which they moved that up to Raw. But I didn't read or didn't get any knowledge as to why did they move that up to Raw.
I haven't really read anything either. Maybe it might just be some nagging injuries because, let's see, Rotunda, Bray Wyatt, he had the car wreck. So I don't know if he still have any lingering issues from that. And Matt, they said Matt's kind of still beat up, so maybe you want to give him a couple weeks off or something. But maybe it's a way to take the title somehow. Maybe they can interfere. They'll come out and interfere, and the B team lose, and Revival gets the straps.
Yeah, when it was set up as a three-way dance, I'm like, oh, easy. This is how the Revival get the tag belts.
Yeah.
They somehow there's some screw job ending there, and the Revival pick up the victory. But now that it's down between the two of them, I still think the Revival win. But I'm curious how they're going to do it.
Well, I think it's a schmoz with the leaders of worlds maybe interfering. And then it goes on and they'll still feud with the B team. And maybe the Revival might end up feuding with AOP or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good point. Rand, your thoughts?
I think the B team is a testament to how good The Miz is. That he was able to keep those two guys on the roster. Make them relevant.
What do you do with them, though, if they drop the belts at SummerSlam? Let's say they drop the belts. What do you do with Dallas and
Do they argue among themselves and nobody cares?
I don't know.
I think they'll get the straps back.
You do?
I think it's something if they want to keep them together. But, I mean, you got to put the straps on the Revival. That's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
Those two guys, just they work so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they do so well in their tag team specials. Yeah, they got to have the straps on them. So I say the Revival wins in some sort of schmoz.
I agree with you on that, Rand.
Sure.
What did you, thinking of them really quick, what did you think of Bubba Ray's comments about them using the heart attack as a mid-match spot?
I did not read those comments.
When they did that as a mid-match, because they want to do a dedication to Neidhart.
Okay.
Which, rest in peace, Jimmy. So they did it, and it was just a mid-match spot, and then Bubba Ray came out and spoke against that should have been their finish,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to use it. And I totally agree.
I agree, too.
I think it was kind of weird to see it, but I appreciate them dedicating. I thought that was cool, too. So
I think if you use it, you use it big. You don't just...
Yeah, it's not a throwaway move.
Right.
I really, back to what you do with the B team, if you do split them up or not, I would not hate seeing them shipped over to SmackDown, but yet not rejoin them with The Miz, but do something different with them, maybe like another legacy-like type of group. You know, find another second-generation star, put them in together, and have them being... Admitting that they are, you know, because I know they've done it with Curtis Axel in the past. They've done it with Bo Dallas, who
they're third generation stars.
Well, that's right. They're third. Yeah. Third. So
Mr. Orton's not on the matches.
Well, but I don't know.
You want to slow him down by putting him with somebody?
That might be an idea. Orton's a hard one.
Obviously, he's been whipping it out to show people for my ears. So I don't know if it's a hard one or not, but people have been known to look at it, I guess.
I don't know. I was not missing Randy Orton being gone. So when he came back, I'm like,
Oh, but his promos were sweet, though.
His promos were sweet,
and Charlotte's dig on Carmella this past week was sweet. I know you missed that.
I did not watch SmackDown. I did not miss
good stuff.
Yeah.
They opened the show.
She called her a diva in the women's division.
Oh, snap. That's
pretty sweet.
That's a good one.
Teacups.
You can say whatever you want about Carmella. She's got some of the best promos. She's a well-defined character.
Well, I'll definitely have you talk about her definition here a little later on. Maybe we get to that match.
But anyways. all right, next match that I have on my list is The Miz versus Daniel Bryan.
This is probably the match that's been built the best.
I agree.
This is like, other than this is one of the best build-ups ever for a match.
Yeah, it goes back. It goes back to the old. Yeah, and it goes back to that old school of talking up the match and talking asses in the seats, if you will. And I think that with the video packages and with the promos and that, they've done a great job of that.
I hate that they're doing this at SummerSlam, though. And you're like, why would you say that? That should be a Mania match, in my opinion. But here's why I think they're doing it: is I think Daniel Bryan's gone after his contract's up.
I got a feeling if he loses, he's gone. Yes.
Well, I also feel, too, that they need to keep whatever momentum they have behind The Miz because of the reality show, that they got to put him over and keep that rolling.
But I think the reality show is turning him face. Have you watched it?
I have.
It's a great show.
It is a great show. And I didn't, in the long line of other reality shows that the WWE put out there, I was hesitant to watch it, but I did go ahead and watch it. And it is enjoyable because, hey, whether you like him or not, Miz is pretty damn entertaining.
Oh, no, I totally agree.
And so,
and if you look at what he overcame, the way he was outcast coming in from Tough Enough?
Coming from the real world.
The real world, first, and then to Tough.
What he put up with being an outcast, for him to stick with it and get to the top, there are times, because Brock Lesnar's not here, Miz was the MVP of an awful lot of Raw shows, both with his matches and his talk show. He carried an awful lot of Raws while Brock was farming.
Twiddling his thumbs. What was he reading? Outdoorsman?
Yeah, there's some great memes with that, too.
I saw that.
Hey, hold on a second. Hey, Liam! Sorry, over in catering. Is this Canadian bacon or is this ham? I'm trying to figure this out. Liam! God, I can't. We must be soundproofed. I'm sorry. I'm trying to eat this here. And I can't tell if it's Canadian bacon or ham.
Does it make a difference?
Well, you're the one that's hiring these people from Canada. I want to know what I'm eating when I'm putting in this body.
Because your body's a temple.
It's truly a temple.
I looked it up. The difference between Canadian bacon and ham is the position on the pig's butt.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Well, I should know because I've been in many positions on many pigs' butts. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, so I feel The Miz goes over. What do you think?
Oh, I believe The Miz goes over, too. But the thing, like I said, that bothers me, though, is I think if he does, and I totally agree with Ringside, is that Daniel Bryan will be gone if that happens.
Okay.
I don't think it ends on SummerSlam. It might go to Survivor Series.
Ooh, will they have a team against each other, or will they have a single match?
Ooh. And if they have a team, will Daniel Bryan pick Shane McMahon to be on the team?
Decisions.
Well, The Miz will get the B team.
Well, maybe.
Possibly.
Who would Daniel Bryan recruit? Other people from NXT or the Nexus?
What's Tarver's name? Michael Tarver?
Michael Tarver.
He's putting out a hip-hop album. He's putting out a rap album. I don't know if you ran into
that.
I
do not know that, but I think he's part of King of Trios for Shikara because they have a Nexus group. It's him, Justin Gabriel, and, who was the other one? The other Nexus member. I'll have to look that up. But, yeah, so.
It's not Ryback.
No, it's not Ryback.
It's not Wade Barrett.
It's not Wade Barrett. It's,
Ryback's too busy drinking nutritional shakes out in Vegas. So,
all right, let's move on to let's move on to the next match. Which, while the Ringside feels Miz and Daniel Bryan is the best setup storyline for the match, this one's probably the worst, and that is Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin.
I would have probably traded that for the pre-show.
Oh God, yes. Because
I thoroughly and completely and utterly cannot stand the Constable gimmick. It's stupid. He's not brilliant.
I think he's the corporate snitch.
It doesn't matter. He's terrible because. And how many titles can you have for a name? Baron is a title. The Constable is a title. What? Why don't we just throw Esquire at the end of his name?
Prime Minister Corbin.
I mean, he's not improved since he's come over to Raw. Although, thanks for shaving your head, though, Baron. You do look a little bit better.
Yeah, the skullet is gone.
I know I shouldn't talk since my hair is not looking prim.
You're looking
proper.
You're looking good, Lloyd. I think Finn Balor deserves better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I hate the whole premise. You're a small guy. I'm a big guy. That's what this feud's built on. Who cares?
Finn Balor needs to go to SmackDown. If anybody needs to switch brands, a feud with him. You get him and AJ and Samoa Joe all on the...
Oh, my goodness.
You could have some great matches out of that.
Or him and Jeff Hardy and Shinsei.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. I totally agree with that. You know, I think it's time to get some of these dream matches out of the way, because just like we're saying, Matt's banged up. I don't think Jeff has much time either.
No. No.
This is their last run, and, you know, you could get some dream matches out of that. Mm-hmm. But Finn Balor goes over. If he doesn't, he needs to maybe look into Impact Wrestling at that point, or Ring of Honor, because I wouldn't want to be around if I'm losing to Baron Corbin.
Well, let's see. How many times has Finn won in televised matches with Baron? I'm thinking he's, what, 2-0 or 3-0?
No, I think he lost one.
Did he lose one?
I think he lost one.
Okay.
Shows you how interested we are in
this. Yeah, exactly. This is how gripping this whole...
Who pitches that? Seriously, like... So I think we have the storyline where we're going to call Baron Corbin the Constable. Like, and poor Kurt Angle. Like, he can't get a break. Let Kurt Angle be Kurt Angle. That's my thing. He can't even be himself anymore when he does this gimmick. So, I don't know. I hope Finn Balor injures him.
Did I say that? You did. Rand, what do you think?
I really think Finn deserves the wins.
Okay, fine. I'll go right along with you guys, because I've got to be honest. I was on the fence on this one.
Have we agreed on every one so far?
I think we have so far. So this is unprecedented. So okay, so Finn Balor as well. I pick will go over Baron Corbin. And honestly, too, just as a side note, is it really that big of a size difference between the two of them? I don't think there's a huge size difference.
Huge? Is that huge. With a Y?
Huge. Huge.
I think huge. So. I think Finn's probably like 5'9 or 5'10 most. Corbin's like 6'5.
Okay. I don't know. It doesn't appear like there's a huge size difference.
I don't think if Corbin was really an NFL player, wouldn't he have more bulk on his chest?
Well, I'm sure. Well, I really haven't been checking that out, but I'm sure that
he doesn't seem like the typical NFL player that Vince likes.
Right. He doesn't have that Monty Brown look.
Yeah. There you go. Monty Brown. Like
it. Montavious?
No. That's a different.
Are we getting into the sports. Pounce?
The Pounce.
There you go. Marcus Corson, was that his name?
Corvant? I don't remember. Marcus Corvant.
Like he was some famous conqueror from France with that name. Like, we're probably related to you out there, Liam. I see you with that Canadian bacon. Jerk.
Speaking of which, by the way.
Jerk would be Caribbean.
Oh.
This is a totally different tangent. Have you guys seen these Pierre Carl Ouellette training videos?
I've heard about them.
I haven't watched them either, but I've heard about them. Getting electrocuted in the nuts and like getting a cement block smashed over him and shit like that, which is just completely off.
Now, does he go by that or does he go by Jean-Pierre Lafitte?
He actually goes by PCO.
Okay.
You know,
not to be confused with Jean Lafitte from Captain Crunch.
No.
So.
There you go. Boy, folks, if you're listening tonight, you've got a lot of great information. You know where Canadian bacon comes from. You've just got a cereal reference. So, we're just killing it tonight. SmackDown Tag Team Title Match is next, I believe. Or on my list is next. Bludgeon Brothers versus The New Day. Well, I think this will be probably a competitive match. I do. I think that they're gonna tell that story of the speed of Xavier or Kofi. I'm assuming it's going to be Kofi, maybe. Who knows? And you get the power of Big E against the Bludgeon Brothers, but I still think the Bludgeon Brothers go over.
They look unstoppable to me. They haven't had much to slow them down.
Well, first of all, it doesn't make sense to me because I know, put money in the jar.
It's a dollar.
Yeah, that's right. You have to listen to past episodes, know what that means, guys. So, they've lost before, and they've gotten their butts kicked. Like, it doesn't make sense. Why not put Sanity in there? Why not move AOP over to SmackDown and have some mm-hmm. big guys go against them? Because they've gotten their butts handed to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, it's goofy.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't... The story don't make sense. Don't make no sense. But doesn't make any sense. And I'm not really feeling this match. It should have been on the pre-show. But I'm going with the Bludgeon Brothers.
Do you think Sanity could do a run-in?
Well, they had them job out to the New Day on SmackDown this past weekend, which is ridiculous. Like, those guys are two big guys. You have Eric Young as a mouthpiece. that would be a great feud with the Bludgeon Brothers.
I really feel, real quickly, talking about Sanity, I feel that the biggest mistake with Sanity was not bringing Nikki Cross along.
I agree.
I think she's lost without them in NXT. I think she would have been a perfect addition to not only the women's roster on SmackDown, but also would be still bringing that little extra craziness to that gimmick. I don't know. I think that's the biggest mistake they made with Sanity so far.
Well, maybe they're just trying to do the same, catch the same thing with when they brought in Enzo and Cass without Carmella.
Oh, true.
You know, trying to just kind of keep it separate and see what they can do without each other.
And who would have thought Carmella would be the one that stuck
survived?
I know.
But Cass is still going by Big Kaz. That's C-A-double-Z. Big Kaz. It should be B-I-double-G-C-A-double-Z.
There you go.
Nice. That'd be a great gimmick if somebody used a lot of double letters in their name.
Okay. Don't worry. The younger crowd is completely lost by that. Our target demographic gets it.
Target demographic. My target demographic soccer moms. Are we getting a lot of those in 2 minutes?
Let me check the Libsyn stats. I'll get back to you. Red, what do you think? Bludgeon Brothers or New Day?
I'd like to see New Day and Sanity go at it.
So you're going to pick the New Day to win over?
No, but I think somehow, Sanity gets involved.
Okay.
Maybe cost New Day a shot, and they wound up going Freebird rules against each other.
All right. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens. If Strowman loses, Owens gets the Money in the Bank case.
How great is Kevin Owens? Seriously. Like, he is such an awesome heel. The way this match should be, if it wasn't for him, this match would make zero sense. But the way he does it, the way he plays this coward, but yet keeps squeaking out. I love it. You don't look like you like it that much. I really like it. I've always been a KO fan, and I think that it's kind of cool where they're going. Strowman, so to answer the question, Strowman wins, and I think we'll talk about him a little bit later on in this conversation.
I agree.
I think it'll be a fun match.
There's enough question on this match. Any of the four people could wind up with a title. There's a chance Kevin Owens win this somehow fluky. Like you said, the chicken shit heel, that could happen. There's enough possibility that any of the four can wind up the title. And that's what makes this match and the other match interesting. We all think that Braun's going to win this match, keep his, and interfere later and get the title shot. Who's to say Kevin Owens doesn't pull out the fluke win?
Yeah.
And then cash in that night,
that
too.
That night, too, yeah.
I think we'll see... We'll see Jinder Mahal in that match too. Obviously, he'll try and interject himself in the match, but it'll probably backfire. But I think that's a shame that he's became that.
Yes,
he became a lackey. He's gone from WWE champion
right
to a lackey with this Usos. What's this stuff like? When he was on SmackDown, he was ruthless. Like, this relaxation crap doesn't... I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible gimmick, and I don't understand it either. It's a shame because the guy did a really good job with the WWE title and being a very good heel. So, I don't know, but, you know, there's a lot of question marks to why some people are not on this card, because there's still a few other folks that, as we mentioned, Sanity's not on it. There's no Anderson and Gallows.
Randy Orton's not scheduled.
Randy Orton's not scheduled.
Is this the problem with going to open pay-per-views instead of keeping them separate?
Well, SummerSlam, they were always going to do the big ones where they joined pay-per-views. So.
Yeah.
But Strowman goes over. Okay. I still go with that. I'm Strowman.
I'm going to go with a long shot.
You're going to go with Owens?
Yeah.
First time we disagreed so far.
I'm going to go with Strowman as well, because I think I'm going to look at it from a conventional standpoint. What will happen later in the show. So, Jeff Hardy against Shinsuke Nakamura for the U.S. Championship.
Would you like to go first?
I think Hardy's getting a big push, but it seems like as soon as he gets a push, something happens to him, whether he gets injured or takes a shot below the belt. It seems like he's not up to his potential.
I think something's going to happen in this match where it's going to kind of knock him silly. And we're going to see Brother Nero some way. Now, is it we're going to see Brother Nero on Raw and Jeff Hardy on SmackDown, which would be cool if they did that. I don't know if he has enough gas in his tank to work both brands.
Hey, Corey Graves can.
Is he over there or something? What in the hell is that?
It was a spider. It's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, we have all these issues. Now we have random arachnids climbing through the studios here. That thing was large enough. It's like the palm of my hand. That thing was huge.
It's not that big.
Am I to spray for something here?
Who was the luchador in WCW that had the spider on his chest?
Oh, that was Arachnoman, wasn't it?
Didn't Brad Armstrong play that?
Yeah, it was Brad Armstrong. It was Arachnoman.
He kind of looked like Captain Zemo from Marvel Comics.
Yes, he did. He did.
It was a Captain Baron Zemo. Baron Corbin.
Constable Zemo.
Esquire Corbin.
Anyways, Nakamura wins, but I think they're going to do something to rebrand or redevelop the Jeff Hardy characters. It keeps evolving because he keeps doing like he's gone to the face paint.
I think
they're slowly transforming to where they'll either do that or he'll just be Brother Nero. But I think something along the lines now that Matt finally owns all that, I think we're going to see Brother Nero. That's a hell of a cool... First of all, that's really his middle name.
What?
Yeah.
It is? It's Jeffrey Nero Hardy?
Isn't that a cool... I'm pretty sure, I heard that somewhere. Like, if that's my middle name, I'm thinking I'm pretty much a badass, because that is a...
I'm going to say that I think Nakamura wins with the help of Randy Orton. I think Orton gets involved somehow to screw over Jeff Hardy, and I think Nakamura retains the U.S. Championship. But I got to be... It is Jeffrey Nero Hardy. Well, I'll be damned.
No, he doesn't wrestle by that name anymore.
Right. No.
I'll be damned. Anyways.
IWA fan.
It's still back there in the corner.
DJ Joey, please, do not worry about the spider. It was not that big.
It's missing now.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It must be on Impact Wrestling.
What's the worst that can happen?
If I get bit...
And you become
a superhero, you know why.
Okay. Are you going with Nakamura as well, Rand?
Yep.
Okay. Moving on to the match that I honestly had... I was on the fence about this match as well. The WWE Intercontinental Championship, Ziggler versus Rollins. I'm not sure who to pick on this one. Why are you looking at me that way?
How could you be on the fence? This match is going to steal the show.
Oh, no, I know that. But, I mean, I'm on the fence as to who's going to go over.
It's Dolph.
You think?
Obviously, Ambrose turns heel.
Ooh, okay.
Did you see him? He was ready to... He looked like he should be wearing a wife beater, drinking alcohol, and beating his wife. Like, Renee Young's would start showing up with black eyes on Raw because of how he looks. I'm sorry, it's 2018. I shouldn't joke about that. Maybe he could be a coach on Ohio State.
Oh, no.
Oh, ooh, too soon. No, but...
Hold on. Never mind, just go on. No more jokes.
I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize. I'll give an official one on Twitter if I need to. That's really official. Ambrose goes heel. Dolph wins. He's not going to align himself with Dolph and Drew, but he's going to do his own thing, I think. That's my opinion. Seth doesn't need that IC belt again. Dolph... See, the whole thing when with Miz having it was making that belt relevant again. Dolph is the same way as Miz. He's making that Intercontinental title relevant. And I think by keeping it on him... Like, I think Drew and Dolph... are some of the best things going right now on Raw. That's just my opinion.
I think they're very good at what they're doing with them on Raw. But I was going with Rollins goes over because Ambrose interferes somehow. And the heel turn was not going to be for a while. That's just the way I was feeling on there. But I could see easily it going the way that you mentioned too. I can, Joe.
There's a tiebreaker.
There we go.
I'm going with the Ohio boy, Dolph.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think Drew, well, we know all four of them are going to be in the ring. That's just a given.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
in a scenario like that, maybe not a total heel turn, but maybe Dolph ducks and Ambrose accidentally hits Seth and causes a loss and it starts to cause friction, but they play it out over a long period of time.
Well, that's how I think it would be. Yeah, better booked. I don't know if there would be an immediate heel turn, but I still think Rollins is going to win. I'm going to stick with that idea, and then we see where that goes. Maybe Ambrose and Rollins feud for that IC title. Maybe
did they before?
They feuded over the world, the whatever what was it, the heavyweight championship of the millennium or whatever they were calling it then. I don't know.
It wasn't the universal title yet, was it?
No.
Okay. Okay, WWE SmackDown Women's Championship, Carmella defends against Becky Lynch and Charlotte. Thoughts on this one, ringside, Rand?
I think Carmella gets away with another one when sure looks like Becky and Charlotte are going to have problems.
Yeah, I think something's going to happen where there's a breakdown between the friendship and Carmella takes advantage and she gets the win, whether it be like a roll up or something like that, and she continues to play her cheap heat heel that she plays, and it's, I think she retains.
Wow, I'm gonna go the other way because this is how I thought. I think Becky Lynch wins because of really, like, somehow Carmella is getting pinned by Charlotte, and there's a quick, you know, she cans her, and she takes the easy, cheap victory. And yes, it shades Becky Lynch a little bit more of the heel, but I think that would be the better way to go. That's what I'm thinking.
How about if Charlotte gets Carmella in the figure four plus, and Becky lays on top of her?
Ooh, that would be a great,
and they
very
get a submission
way
and a pin at the same time.
Then they have to hold up the women's title. That's the only thing.
And then the truth wins it. Ron Killings wins it. Because remember, he said he had to wrestle Carmella to,
yeah,
put the belt on.
It's good
the
to
truth.
See him back.
Great comic relief.
Yeah. And a man that is not the youngest guy on the roster either.
Oh, God. He's getting up there.
He is.
Former world champion.
I know.
He was a great heel champ in TNA Impact or whatever they were.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now we go to.
He used his real name, didn't he?
He used Ron Killings. Yeah. Now we'll move on to the other women's title match, which is Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey.
And isn't this the best pair of women's matches we've ever had on a pay-per-view?
I think it's pretty good.
I mean, it's clearly
better than they've been for years.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, this is some serious improvement. I mean, let's face it. The Bellas could do other things, but they weren't wrestlers.
No.
Kelly could do lots of things, but she wasn't a wrestler.
True.
There were several
Stacey
others.
Stacey Keebler.
Oh, my Lord, the things she could probably do, and she's not a wrestler.
Michelle McCool, Layla L. We can name them all. We could spend all the rest of the time here naming
them
all.
I'm spent after Stacey Keebler. I'm sorry, I can't go any further.
Anywho, I don't know. See, with this one, I feel they're putting the belt on Rousey. I say that begrudgingly because I don't like what they've done with Ronda Rousey. I don't feel
but
like
the crowd loves her.
I know.
She is getting a huge pop. Like,
I know.
Wow.
I think she needs to work on her facial expressions. She comes out trying to be mean.
No, she comes out too happy.
She comes out and hears the crowd. It's like, you guys like me. I should be here.
Yeah.
She should have that Ken Shamrock. Remember how Shamrock, even though he has a face, he was ready to knuckle up. And she,
right.
I think that would serve her better.
Mm-hmm. The baddest woman on the planet shouldn't be smiling.
No. I just feel like, if you wanted to really capitalize on Rousey, I feel they should have spent a lot of time building her up. And I know, God forbid, that we actually have a slow build for anything anymore in wrestling, but I felt like a slow build of her decimating just opponent after opponent after opponent, which, of course, would be local jobbers, you know, and then slowly build up to it. I think, obviously, injected right into the foray of Stephanie and Triple H's match with her and Angle and whatnot. I think they bypassed all of that, and
I wonder if they had to rebook this because of Natalya. Because they've been really playing up their friendship, and if something was supposed to happen there. See, what I would do, and I don't think this is going to happen, but I'd have Alexa Bliss go over, and I would build to where, because Alexa's such a good heel, like where she talks about, like she gets real, like she talks about Ronda Rousey's family, like bring her mom out. And I'm not knocking, and if you live, whatever your means, however you survive, but you know, Ronda Rousey's upbringing was very rough. They weren't well off.
Mm-hmm.
And start bringing to that, and Alexa be like, I'm well off. I, you know, this, that, and the other. And I think they could get a lot of out of this. They could get more out of this with an Alexa win than with a Rousey win, personally.
Right, but
do,
I don't
think
that's the way they're going.
Too quick for Ronda to win the title?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, but I think they could get more out of this feud with Alexa wins. And they could, if any chance to win, there could be a disqualification. And Ronda wins, and the belt doesn't change hands. So Ronda wins, but here's my call: Ronda wins, but she doesn't get the title. Ronda wins by disqualification,
right,
because I think you get the most out of this feud without Rousey getting the title this early.
Maybe who's playing Alexa's friend this week?
Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox. Yeah.
Is she screws it up? I think Mickey James is injured.
Is that what's
going on? I think so. Yeah. If I remember, I read somewhere. I don't remember what. I want to say shoulder, but I don't think that's correct.
Although she does have a movie that are
stop.
Well, no, Will told us about us. We talked about it that one episode, right?
I think so.
I know Will's listening. He'll probably get a kick out of that.
Yeah. Anyways.
Was it a solo movie, or did she have other co-stars? I can't remember.
I don't remember. I know there's a certain magazine. But anyways, I digress. Anyways. I still think they put the belt on Rousey, and I don't think they should, but I think that's the avenue they're going to go. Rand, what do you think?
I don't see this one ending on this pay-per-view. This could go on.
Okay. So they somehow eke out a Bliss win?
Yeah.
Okay. WWE Championship, Samoa Joe, a man that Rand is very, very fond of, versus AJ Styles.
Who I'm also fond of.
So, right, your fondness is off the meter.
I think they're two of the best in the business.
Yes, and I agree.
I've seen half-hour matches at TNA house shows in the day.
Oh, yeah, they can go. And the build-up's been pretty cool, the whole personal angle.
Yeah, I've liked that a lot.
And people were talking about they should put Heyman with Joe. No, Joe is a great promo.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Just the intensity he brings to it. And he's come a long way since we saw him for the first time in Wilmington.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time I saw him in a ring was with... And live was when we went down to Wilmington.
What I like
for Ring of Honor.
What I like sitting on, they didn't even have the right chairs for us. Remember that?
Yeah.
We had tickets for front row and they didn't have enough chairs. What I like about Samoa Joe is he doesn't look like an athlete. And yet he is. He moves as well as just about anybody. His promos are good. He looks like he's from the streets. He's a badass and he can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's probably going to do on this. That's a great segue. He's probably going to do the job. I think AJ goes over, whether it be by DQ. It might be a schmoz, too. I don't know. But I think AJ is going to keep the title still for a little bit until they start building some more angles heading into the Rumble and heading into...
Who do you think would interfere in this match?
I don't know if there's anyone else.
I don't think there's been any interference, but...
Orton?
No. No, I'm going to go the opposite way. I think that they put the belt on Samoa Joe. I think they let him
win. I would love that.
I think they do, and then I feel like somewhere down, maybe by Survivor Series, there's a rematch, AJ gets the belt back, and then they can do their whole build for Royal Rumble, then into Mania. I think Joe goes over because I think he's got the momentum, and I think that now is the time. If you don't do it now, is there ever going to be another chance to do it with Samoa Joe?
Nobody's going to... like when I say this, probably because they don't think he can work, but I would love to see a perfect time if Joe gets it. That's when you bring in Cena. I want to see a Joe-Cena match.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be great. I think there'd be some good hype because they both start together in UPW.
Yeah, yeah.
And
there was a four-way match, but I'd love to see Brock and Samoa Joe.
One-on-one? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to see that now after Sunday, but they're going to have an emergency meeting. Did you hear about that?
It sure seems like Brock's leaving.
Well, wait a minute. Before we get to the emergency meeting. Rand, what's your prediction?
Styles or Joe? My boy Joe.
All right. We got two for Joe and one for AJ. Emergency meeting.
Didn't necessarily get the title, but I think...
Okay. All right. I think they put the belt on him for right now. Give him a short run with it.
I think I'd like it. No, they're supposed to have some emergency meeting I've read on one of the dirt sheets with Brock. So I don't know if they're trying to... If Brock retains, they might have him take the title over to UFC. There might be a working relationship, which I think there's already a rumor that WWE owns some stock in UFC anyways, but like under some umbrella corporation I was reading. But so there might be a chance that Brock might be staying around still. So you still might.
Well, and you know what? They mentioned that too. I can't remember what match it was, but they did re-sign him the last time the contract was about up, and everybody said Reigns. I think that was the four-way match, I think. Wasn't that? I think it was. I can't remember exactly what match it was, but it was a big pay-per-view. Many people thought, well, Reigns is going to go over, and at the last minute, they re-signed him. Speaking of re-signing, I just pulled up real quick. Daniel Bryan says that it's about a 90%+ that he will likely sign with the WWE. He was quoted as saying that on the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast this week. Even though September 1st is his last day with the company, because that's when the contract expires. So,
and that's pretty credible, because Sam works for WWE.
Yeah, he does. So. He does. All right, it's main event time. It's Reigns. It's Lesnar. I think we're kind of all on the same wavelength, probably, as to how this could go. But DJ Joey Blaze, start us off. What do you think?
I think it's all on how they book it.
Okay.
I think we're all going to talk about it. Something happens. Roman wins. Roman's beat down. He's just laid out in the ring. He's exhausted. Then here comes Strowman. Rah! Cashes in Money in the Bank. Now, how they book it, that's the whole other thing. I was talking to a friend of mine, Nate, which I'd love to get him on the podcast. Just to talk. He has some outlandish ideas. One of his ideas is for him to take the title and win it. And because they always show that these signs of strength, like, oh, he turned this over, he pulled this over, rip the belt in half.
That would be sweet.
And say that he doesn't need a belt, he doesn't need this, and kind of just build it up, and then they give him a belt again, but he just kind of rips it and just to show his dominance. Like, just that'd be a cool way of doing it.
It would be.
So something like that, I don't know, just come out, he wins it, just in the victory, he just rips it apart just to show how much of a monster he is. That'd be cool. But that's my take. Roman finally wins, but he ultimately loses. And Strowman takes the title.
I agree 100%. That's exactly the same way that I thought it was going to happen. DJ Joy Blaze, exactly the same. I think that Roman gets his beloved title, but then loses to Braun Strowman.
So you think Brock loses, Braun comes in and takes care of Roman. What about if Brock wins and Strowman comes in after him? Well, or are you trying to get the sympathy for Brock winning and yet not having the title at the end of the night?
Well, I think I think just for the whole face push of Roman Reigns, the heartbreak of him finally winning and then losing it will, even though they're pushing Braun as a face, I think that would be kind of like the whole, you know, like, God, like he had it and it just slipped out of his fingers.
Sympathy being the strongest emotion.
Oh, very much so. As they continue to try and build, because that's how they've been trying to build the whole match, is a sympathy around him about how Heyman did what he did to him on Monday night, this, that, and the other. They keep trying to. And with Lesnar doesn't care about the WWE, so now you have to root for Roman. So they're trying everything they can to build it up.
If Brock leaves, what happens to Heyman?
That's a great question, and one that I've been trying to think of. I don't know. Does he really need to stick around? You know, that's a great question. Does he need to stick around? Is there somebody else you can put on?
I think we need a dangerous alliance, is what I think. He laughed, but I think he could take the Revival as a tag team.
Oh, yeah.
And give them, be old school, so it'd be kind of like how he had Anderson and Zbyszko. You know, we have a tag team, and you take on a couple more clients. Why not McIntyre and Ziggler? Ziggler has the IC title, and then you're in McIntyre. You have legitimacy now for somebody, a challenger for Strowman. A McIntyre-Strowman feud would be kind of cool. I saw something on your notes, too, I think we need to talk about here in a second, at the very bottom, because he needs to be a part of the show somehow. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're setting up for something or something like that, which I'll talk about in a second. But so I think that's what you do with Heyman. I think you put him with a stable of guys. I like maybe not call it the Dangerous Alliance, but bring back a group of guys. Like, the Revival, even though they're good, they're the tag team that needs a manager.
Yeah, okay.
And then put them, like, so I think maybe having a group of guys with that. That's my opinion. I don't know what you guys think or what you should do with them. I would keep, I think you need him around, though. He's a top three promo guy on the roster.
I can go either way. I could see where he could just go away for a while and come back. But, I mean, ultimately, I think there are some younger guys that could definitely benefit from having him.
Or maybe not the Revival, maybe AOP. See, remember when we sat down here and talked that one time, what I would have done with the Authors of Pain is I would have kept Ellering around, but put him with Connor and Victor, and they could have had something like that. And then you could put – so I think they need to keep him around and try and build that manager type of gimmick back.
Okay.
So, in my opinion.
Paul Heyman got Curtis Axel to be interesting.
True. Yeah. Very true. Can't, I mean, that's definitely, that is accurate on that.
And it's no fault of Axel. Axel's a great hand. He's a great worker, but just they couldn't get over on the mic. So your last note, where's Elias at on the card? What does he do on the show?
That is a good point.
He's got to be a part. He's got to be a part of something. What's he going to be a part of?
That's a very good point.
Lashley's on the show. Where's Lashley?
I don't know.
Lashley's attacked Elias last couple of couple of shows.
So do they have an impromptu match on the opener, or does something else happen during the show with that?
You know what? That's a good question. That's a very good question. I feel somewhat silly that I didn't even recognize that Elias and Bobby Lashley were not on there. I really didn't. I didn't until you just mentioned it now. I'm like, oh, shit, they're not on the show.
Actually, I think Elias is listed as performing.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Sweet.
Hello, my name is Elias. And I know you guys probably hate him still.
I am fully behind him now because, you know, it took me a little while, but I'm on the bandwagon, man. I like Elias, especially now that he's with the camera crew shit. That was hilarious.
Very.
Didn't we see him in downtown as El Vagabondo?
Yeah. Well, they won. He was doing that gimmick because he lost and loser leaves town.
Right.
Well, let's talk real quick about NXT TakeOver and what matches we have there, because that is going to be happening on Saturday night.
Dude, that main is fire.
It is. I suspect that we are going to see some really crazy shit coming out of that. You know,
I totally agree with this. Gargano
and Ciampa, last man standing. I think that that's going to be just an amazing, amazing match that possibly someone could get fucked up.
Can we talk about the winner of that? I mean, no, it's the main, but do you want to talk about that now, or you want to?
Yeah, let's talk about that now. Let's go in reverse order from here, because that's how it is on my notes. So,
well, I think Wifey's going to play a part in this for Gargano. I think she's going to throw in the towel.
Oh, that's a good point. Because they've been hyping that up, that relationship, a lot. All right, Rand is covering his face. He's disgusted by that idea.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
What?
You haven't seen any NXT recently?
No.
What? Okay. All right, so I think...
The Golden Ghetto. Yep. That's one of the perks.
Oh, well. Maybe one day you can wrestle the remote away from the wife and watch.
Mrs. Ringside.
She was ringside one time.
How did she like that?
It was the house show in Canton, and it was the worst show I've ever been to.
Then we got Adam Cole versus Ricochet for the NXT North American title. This is also an amazing match, I think, between these two. I still think Adam Cole goes over, though, retains the title.
I think he retains, but I think this is going to be Ricochet. I know it's hard to say he's going to have a breakout match.
Yeah, right.
Because every time he wrestles, but I think this will be the one that puts him on the map in NXT and maybe elevates him more towards maybe do some main events. Because I don't think Gargano and Ciampa, I think this is the last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, and you're going to see Gargano show up maybe on 205 Live or something, but I think this might be either not the last, but close to last. Plus, I think this will help elevate Ricochet to that.
Plus, with Adam Cole, he hasn't really defended that title.
No.
Has he? I mean, there's been only one title defense, if I remember correctly, since he captured it.
On
one of the NXT TVs. Women's title in NXT, Kairi Sane takes on Shayna Baszler.
I don't know how I feel about this.
I think they put the belt on Sane just because I think that within especially if Ronda Rousey is going to win that title, I think moving Shayna up to the main roster to be with her pal would be a good way to go.
And they signed the other two young ladies.
Did they sign the other two?
Yeah.
So I think Baszler, it goes up there. And to be honest, I think Baszler's the better wrestler than Rousey at this time. I mean, that's not saying much, but at this time. And I would think that that would be a nice kind of, I don't want to say crutch, but you know what I mean. Like, that would be good help for Rousey.
Yeah, because they got to start making some moves because the Classic's coming up, the Mayon Classic.
Correct. They're taping it right now, I believe.
They'll be signing some girls out of there, so.
Yeah. Undisputed Air, versus Mustache Mountain for the NXT Tag Team Championship.
That's going to be this whole card is solid.
Yeah, it is.
And all those guys who go, I think you're going to see... Undisputed Era retain, just because.
Well, I do too.
Because they've already had that title
flip
switch.
Flop. Yeah, they've had the flip flop. Although I really do like Mustache Mountain. Trent Seven and Tyler Bate are pretty darn fantastic.
I totally agree with that.
Is Bobby Fish? Is he still injured? I believe. Because I believe that's why it's been Cole and Strong. So I'm just wondering if he gets involved any way there. But if he's injured again, maybe his, you know.
It'd be cool if he got involved and one of the other UK guys got involved too, and
that would be
carry
cool.
on the feud.
Yeah, like Pete Dunne or something. Yeah, yeah. And then, if I remember correctly, I think the only other one that we have is, of course, EC3 versus the Velveteen Dream.
And and that's probably going to be the one that's going to start the night.
Yeah.
And that's going to be another. When's Velveteen Dream going to get his break?
I don't know, because that dude is good. But here is my gripe I have with EC3. If he's supposed to be the top 1%, why is he getting cheered? Why is he the babyface? I mean, I know because of what he did over at Impact. I understand that. But that's just such a heel gimmick.
And they started him out as a heel, but he's slowly been getting that face pop, and then they've been pushing that way in shows, or he's been teaming with face tag teams to go against, I guess maybe him and Heavy Machinery against Velveteen Dream and whoever they team them
Kona
with.
Reeves?
He's been working a lot of shows for that.
So speaking of that, why do you have another clone of EC3 with Kona Reeves on the same roster, and they were feuding just as of a couple of weeks ago? Like, to me, I was like, this is the piss-poor booking if I've ever seen it.
Well, if NXT has never been totally perfect with their...
True.
I mean, they're known to throw some stuff up against the wall to see what sticks.
Right.
I mean, long as they've been having shows run on the network, and then before that, too, like, and I've been watching them, they'll throw stuff, and if it works, cool. If not, cool. But EC3, this is just... He's just biding his time.
He's
going up to the main roster.
Yep.
He'll do something. That would be a cool thing to put Heyman with him, maybe, or something. Ooh, I don't know.
That would be
to
great.
Stable.
That would be sweet.
Is he the most likely next one to move up?
I think he's the most ready.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He's the most ready.
For a main roster Raw or SmackDown, I think Gargano is going to go up
to 205.
205 Live.
I do, too. Aleister Black, I could see going to the main roster, too. Despite my not really giving a shit about Aleister Black. Sorry, I still don't care.
I'm with you on that. I think there's too many strikers in wrestling right now.
Yep, I agree. And it may get worse. And I don't mean worse, but I mean Matt Riddle rumored to be heading to NXT. And I mean, there you go. There's another striker. And it's like Baskin Robbins. You got to have 31 flavors. And I think a lot of times right now...
I used to be my dating life back in the day.
Anyways, on that note, we shall see how things shake out here in a few days with SummerSlam and with NXT.
It should be a solid weekend. I tell you what, and I obviously can't grade it because we don't know the results, but as far as matches, I'm going to give this weekend an A.
Okay.
As far as if I were to grade it.
It's been a long time since we've been this excited about a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. I'm
talking about both NXT and SummerSlam. So I think it's going to be a good, solid weekend. I think some people are going to be happy. I know Raw's been kind of boring as a show, but I think the outcome with where we're going with the pay-per-view should be pretty strong.
Cool.
A lot of it's because the champ isn't there.
Totally agree.
True. Yeah.
And if it was John Cena, the champ is here. Well, they can't see him, but the champ is here.
But
the champ.
He's identifying that he is there.
Right.
So we're almost up to an hour, so let's wrap this bad boy up. DJ Joey Blaze, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At DJ Joey Blaze on Twitter. That's someone. I'm that on Instagram.
Okay.
You can add me on Snapchat. I promise I won't send any dick pics or anything like that.
Well, thank you for that. That's a guarantee. No dick pics.
That's the Joey Blaze no dick pic guarantee. That's right. you can have
and
that.
Legal has signed off on it, so it's.
But not Liam and his damn Liam. Canadian bacon.
Rand, is there anywhere on the interwebs where people can get a hold of you?
Just on Twitter, Rand Dittmar.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, we'll do this again in say about a week and see if we are right, wrong, or indifferent. I don't think we're going to be indifferent, but right or wrong on our predictions, shall we?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it a quick break. On the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, folks. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Ran, and yours truly giving our thoughts, our opinions, our predictions, our ideas of what's going to go down this Sunday at WWE's SummerSlam event. And who knows, maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong, we'll find out, and definitely we'll have another conversation about SummerSlam, the review episode, if you will. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you where you can get in touch with me. You could shoot me an email,
johnorlando@pvdcast.com if you like. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast, that being, of course, facebook.com/PVDcast. And don't forget, there's a lot of different ways that you can listen to the PVDcast. Obviously, going to the online home of yours truly, PVDcast.com, is the easiest, but you can also get your hands on this podcast through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, Libsyn Podcast Page, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, a whole host of places where you can find the PVDcast. So with that, I know it's been a long episode, so I'm going to get on out of here. Thanks for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.